Bob is a dear friend, and this man's a pastor's pastor. Isn't that right? In fact, he pastors everybody. And ever since he's been in Rockhampton, he's been a good friend to me and always caring for my soul. It's amazing. You know, I was in Indonesia once, and long days, late nights, tired, went to bed late this Saturday night. I had to get up at some unearthly hour, like 4 or 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and go out and preach a couple of services, and I was tired, I was worn out. 6 a.m. in the men's room, waiting to be picked up, and the text on the phone goes, and I look, and it's Bob Bain. And Bob says, "John, you're walking in abundant grace today." Man, that's all I needed to set me off. So I just confessed it. "Lord, I'm walking in abundant grace today." And the moment I said that, the Holy Spirit fell on me, I burst out in a whole new tongue. And I went out just rejoicing and preached great messages that day on grace. I should have recorded them. Anyway, God bless Bob Bain. And thank you, Bob. And anyway, I really wanted him to come preach to us today. So here he is. I don't care what anyone else in the world is saying today. What he says today is a very important word, and we're going to hang on every word. He is the single most important preacher in your world today. Right. So, Bob, bless you.
John.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, well. Well, I know this. Good listening trumps bad preaching. Leslie's going to come and say hello. This is my lovely wife, Leslie. And we love Pastor John and Hazel and the team here. We really do. And our relationship, it's just a great friendship. And it's just very, very secure, John and I. And I just say thank you, Lord, that we're two fathers together. Actually, I think at the moment, John, I think we're the same age until about 2 or 3 weeks' time by my birthday. And then I just go ahead a little bit. But anyway, but it's like two fathers. I say, thank you, Lord. We're not like two roosters in the hen house. You know, because sometimes it can be like that in a city. It can be like that, you know, and just that. But there's absolutely nothing like that. We're just good friends. And I just always feel so secure in sharing with John and talking to him and appreciate his ministry back to this is my lovely wife, Leslie. Yes.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here with you this morning. It's a momentous occasion, and it was very exciting inviting my people this morning. Welcome to Peace Christian Church. So it was fun to just swap venues every now and then, hey. And, you know, we want to, as an appreciation, I better show you all the flowers. Aren't they pretty? And just as a symbol of our appreciation and your warmth towards us, I'd like to present these to Hazel this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And thank you very much again for having us this morning.
Lovely. Thank you, Leslie. Everybody here okay? Oh, that's good. That's great. Wonderful. John and I are both really believing today for just a great touch of the Lord, which we've experienced already in praise and worship and just gathering together. There is great power, great grace when we worship together like this, and we all go away stronger. And we're really believing for some significant healings to take place in our gathering here today. And so if you need healing, there's areas in your life where you need a touch from God, then we're praying. And those that have been praying for the meeting and believing for it, the other pastors and leaders, we've really been praying for miracles to take place. And so just here in his presence this morning, God can touch you and work a miracle. And miracles, we need miracles. We need God's touch in our lives. There's a man came to church one day, and he had a withered hand. And he was up the back of the church, and Jesus said, "Hey, come on down, stretch it out, lift it out." It was a hand that had become withered. And, you know, things, not only our bodies get touched with disease and things, but also our lives, our emotions, our souls get touched with things. And sometimes they can become withered. And, you know, this morning I am believing for God to heal bodies for physical symptoms to go, be healed in Jesus' name. And also emotional areas where the enemy might have wounded us or crippled us or hurt us. And so it's a withered. Then as we just lift that to the Lord this morning, I just believe that there'd be great testimony. And so we're praying for that. Amen. You need a touch from God. We all need a touch from God. We're all needy. And we're going to pray for some people later, but we just wanted to announce that. And just let's get our expectation that as we're here, as God's word is flowing over us, as his presence is flowing over us, there's healing that takes place in Jesus' name. I want to talk about this morning, my message is three churches that God loves. Three churches that God loves. Church, church, church. And church. When we say church, that validly and truly has three meanings for us. God's family, his body. The Bible calls us the church, believers, the company of believers. We are the church. This building here at 8 Tozer Road and our building down at 97 Glenmore Road, we call it the church. You know, I say to Leslie sometimes, I'm going down to the church. And she knows exactly, you know, what I mean, where I mean. And so that's a valid, a second valid meaning for the church, this building here. And when we, the church, gather to this church and do what we do, as we did this morning, praising him, worshiping, loving him, gathering together, assembling together, loving the Lord. What do we call it? We call it church. We're having church. And that's valid. The church, going to church, having church. We understand. God is all around us. We know that. We understand that. And we can meet him anywhere, anytime, any place without being here at the church. We know that. We do understand that. But this morning, let's just think about the church, us going to the church here and having church together, because the Bible talks lots about his family getting together in special locations with him. God, you know, right through the Bible, it's got pictures for us. He always talks in pictures because he figures we like cartoons better than words anyway. So there's all these pictures. And he held, back in the Old Testament, there were these feasts of the Lord that were held. They were conference times. The Bible calls them holy convocations, where they would meet together and gather together. They would go on a journey and they'd meet three times a year, God said, join together and have these holy convocations, meeting places. And Psalms 89 tells us that if we understand the message of the feast, which is also a message of our journey with the Lord, from when we get saved and filled with the Spirit and pray together and gather together, it's a picture story to us. It's a picture of the church coming through the ages, meeting various times, having great times with the Lord. And Psalm 89 says, when we understand that, when we understand about the meeting places and what they represent for us, there comes great blessing in our lives. God called Abraham to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and to sacrifice on a certain mountain, certain place. He called Moses up to the mountains many times. He called Elijah to a special meeting place. And in that special meeting place, he revealed himself stronger to Elijah than he'd ever seen before, and unfolded his plan for Elijah's life more than he had ever had. The early church, too, had special locations where they would meet for prayer. God called Moses, the children of Israel. He said, get your families, your flocks, your herds, don't leave your business out of this, get everything, and go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and meet with me there. There's a couple of references here in Exodus 33 that we're going to have a look at. Exodus 33, verse 7. Moses had this special meeting place, this tent that he had, which was his tent. And he would take it aside from everyday activities, and this tent was put up outside the camp, aside from everyday duties, and Moses would go there, and he would meet with the Lord. And verse 7, it says in the New King James Version, which I've got looking at here, and you're looking at the International Version there, yours says, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp. Mine says he took his tent. He took his tent, whether it's his tent, whether it's someone else's. The connotation there is there was something of man that was taken and established and built and taken, and in that place, something of man. Because sometimes people say, you know, oh, the church, that's just man's idea. That's just, you know, that's not God. That's not. But here we have, right at the very start, Moses taking his tent, a tent, something that man had made, and taking it on a little distance from the everyday activities. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meetings. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Thanks, Alex. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and they stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses as he entered this tent of meeting. Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Next verse. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. Here's the people standing in their own tent, having this time with the Lord. And the Lord would come and speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, would not depart from the tent. He used to hang around the tabernacle. I like that. Ever since I got saved, we've hung around the tent of meeting with the Lord. And I just have that sense this morning that I'm in the presence of people like that. So I want to encourage us this morning that what we do, what we've established in our lives, coming, worshiping the Lord, is a good thing. It's a good thing to make it a centerpiece of our lives, not letting other things sneak in and rob from it, but establishing a meeting place from the Lord. Jesus made an absolute discipline too of going to church every Sabbath. Luke 4:16, he says he was in Nazareth, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Paul too, in Acts 17, then as his custom was, he went to them into the synagogue three Sabbaths. He reasoned with them, preached to them, did stuff. The early church, as I said, had special meeting places. There was this place down by the river where they would go. And it was a special place. And the activity that used to take place down at this particular location was prayer. It was a place where it was sort of easy to pray. And we can have those places. We can have those times. We can have those venues in our lives. For many years, we've lived up in Mount Morgan. We're living in Rockhampton here now. But I drive to and from lots of times on that road. And that road along passed through Bouldercombe there. I go there and just, you know, like this time and time and time and time again there, just have special times with the Lord. It would just happen. It would just be spontaneous. It wasn't planned. I never thought, oh, I'm coming to this, you know, part of the journey now, you know, it's going to happen. No, it just happened. It was just meeting times. And you've got meeting places with the Lord. And this is a special meeting place with Him. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible tells us there not to forsake or neglect to assemble together as believers. This is the Amplified Version. Don't forsake or neglect the assembling together as believers, as is the habit of some, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. You know, it's a good thing to encourage each other to go to church. Back around about 2000, I had a great experience. We were in Sydney at the time, and I went to this church in Los Angeles called the Dream Center, which changed my life. I think I got born again. We have these times in our life where we get refreshed and touched and enter a new level. and it was a great time. One of the things I noticed about the church there was the culture, right through from the very top, the pastors, they were always encouraging each other in their meeting with the Lord. They never assumed that anybody was going to be there, even from the leaders down. They never assumed that you know, you were going to be there or weren't going to be there. They just kept encouraging each other to see you tonight at church, see you tomorrow. It's good to do this, encourage one another, and not to be frightened of it. This scripture in Hebrews 10 tells us that. Don't neglect encouraging each other, warning each other, gathering each other, because it's so important to gather together and worship the Lord. Interesting scripture in Psalm 122, verse 1. David, King David, a song of ascents. He's going up to the Lord. And he's the king, remember? He's the king. He's in charge. He can do anything he wants. He tells people what to do. Okay? He's the boss. But he says this. He said, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We used to sing scripture in chorus. I was glad, very glad, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I won't sing it, I promise. But he said, I was glad when they came to me, the king, and said to me, come on, king, it's time to go and worship the Lord. He didn't say, you're trying to tell me what to do? You know, I'm the boss here. You know, someone rings you up and says to you, hey, see you in church tomorrow. We're going to have a good day. I don't think there's a week goes by, Jacob, when we don't text each other and say, we're going to have a good time in church tomorrow. You know, going to be a great day. Ring one another, encourage one another, because there's an enemy out there that wants to rob it, that wants to take it away. And, you know, so often people come with an attitude of, oh, well, if there's nothing else on, we'll go to church. No, church first. Make it the centerpiece of our lives. With King David, I was glad when they said to me, I was glad when Jacob rang me up and said, hey, come on, we're going to church tomorrow. Ring each other up. Say, come on, let's gather together. Let's get in the house of the Lord together. Let there be good things happening together as we meet. Psalm 84, verse 1. This is to the chief musician. And there's a subtitle in my Bible that says, to the chief musician on an instrument of Gath. That's interesting. There's this lovely psalm. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord. My soul longs, yet even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord, my King and my God. There's this longing, even fainting for the house of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They'll still be praising you. And what I find interesting is this thing here was played on an instrument of Gath. You know, years and years back they told us, they said, oh, the drums, that's the devil's stuff. You know, when organs first came out, I mean, what's a big old church without an organ? When the organs first came out, hundreds of years ago, you know what someone in the church said? They said, organs, that's the devil's pipes. Don't bring that into the house of God, you know. That's the devil's pipes. But here, David, he's on an instrument of Gath, which Goliath came from Gath. They were heathens. They were outside. They were, you know, the wrong camp, Philistines. They took the instrument of Gath and they got it converted. They got it touched by the power of God. And they just used that like the Salvation Army. They used to take the old songs from the pubs and the drunken songs and the pub songs and they'd put good words to them. I can do that. I can sing all sorts of songs when I'm driving along and I just make up my own praising words to those things. But you know, there's something about taking something, getting something out of the environment in which we live and getting the touch of God on it and getting it back and reaching people with it, you know, reaching into the community with stuff that's out there, not bowing down to it, not saying it's okay, but being smart and wise and getting in there. You know, I just say, where are some of these young fellas that invent these computer programs and you know, like there's this evil game, Dungeons and Dragons or something like that. But what about the Christian version? What about the inventing that Christian version? Have it like the Pilgrim's Progress. You know, have a game, a lovely game there where you just go through and you learn the lessons of life, learn the principles of God. You know, I see some of these young fellas that have got a head for computers and programming, that, you know, get some God stuff and get some God stuff out there into the environment. Get some God stuff out there that people can be playing and getting, you know, good stuff into their lives. But you sort of got to reach into the community, reach into the world, just and get something of theirs and get the touch of God on it. Let it go out and let it multiply. I believe that God has got a home for all of us, a home to worship Him. He's into houses. Nationalities, nations have got houses. Nations have got church, individual structures that are distinctly theirs. Like there's huts in Africa and there's castles in England. I was looking at this castle in Ireland the other night on the TV. Igloos, teepees, 4-bedroom with 2-bathroom. There's something, we like to dwell in houses. And God is no different. And He gave patterns through the Bible for the meeting places that He had together with His people. He gave the pattern. He gave the pattern for Moses' tabernacle. He gave King David's temple and Solomon's temple. He gave them the patterns to house His presence. And He also gave them the pattern to bring protection to His people. Noah's Ark. The Bible says Noah built an ark for the saving of his house. And that ark that he built saved his house. The Passover in Egypt, they had to do certain things. They put the blood over the doorposts and lintels, and it brought protection for them. Rahab the harlot, she put a little scarlet cord out the window, and when the Jericho walls fell down flat, her house was protected. What I'm getting at is that God has got a pattern for us that will bring worship and praise to Him and house His presence, but it brings protection and security and safety and deliverance to us. See, this is what happens when we gather together. It's not just we come to church and we worship the Lord and, well, you know, we look sometimes and we sort of think, well, I didn't get too much out of that. Who gives a rip how much you got out of it? I say, what did God get out of it? What did God get out of it? Because when we come and worship, it's for Him. And if we come and worship the Lord, and if we sort of keep that focus on the Lord and worship on Him and lean in with the praise and worship and lean in with the preaching and lean in and just give our best, I'll tell you what, we can't outgive Him. He'll bless us. He'll bless us. He'll pour out into our lives. He'll bring healing and deliverance and freedom and security and flourishing in our lives when we lean in. But if we're looking and coming, well, you know, what's in it for us? You know, what can we get out of it? What's, you know, wrong priority, wrong focus. God loves it when His church gathers together and worships Him and praises Him. He gave special instructions on what to do, how to build these meeting places with Him, what to do there. And these ingredients, they're here for us today. There was worship. There was praise. There was prayer. There was encouraging. There was ministry. There was serving. There was sacrifice. Psalm 92. This is a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. What we're doing here today, not just something man thought up. Sing a few songs. That's good. Wait for everybody to turn up, you know, when we're all together, then we get on with the rest of the stuff. No, the praise and the worship, it's there right from the start. Be there, get into it, lean into it, worship Him. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Sort of when we first get saved, maybe we didn't come out of that culture of praise and worship and singing songs and that sort of thing, but We're made to do this. We're made to worship God. We're made to sing praises to His name. And when we do, something sort of kicks in into our lives. When I first went to a church that praised the Lord and worshiped the Lord, if Leslie was there with me, you know, we'd be standing there, you know, looking. If I happened to go and she wasn't there, I'd be clapping. I'd be into it. And when we did that, you know, when we entered in and worshiped the Lord, something happens. Something clicks in. We're made for this. We're made to love the Lord. We're made. This is the pattern that He has for us, and this pattern brings security in our lives. So much happens over our lives that we can't see when we get together to worship the Lord. We just see this, what's happening here, but there's so much protection, covering. So much is going out into the city as we do this. And today, I just have that sense today that the presence of God just so going out over Rockhampton, this great city, touching the atmosphere over this city. Things are changing, friends. Things are changing. Hey, things are changing. People are being drawn in the presence of God. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. And that psalm goes on in verse 13. Says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house shall flourish. They shall still bear fruit in old age. There's hope for me. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I heard a sermon once. Are you potted or planted? You know, are you potted or planted? You know, can you pot? You can pick it up. You can move it around. You can take it away. You can take it down the road. When you get planted, the roots go down. The greater nourishment, greater strength, greater life. We flourish when we continue to come and worship the Lord. Something happens here when us, the church, get together and have church in the church. Something kicks in. And there really is something special about the location that we have. We saw Moses there before, taking his tent outside of everyday activities, meeting with the Lord. And so this location here, 8 Tozet Road, it's a special meeting place with the Lord. 97 Glenmore Road, every other church family in the city, they're special meeting places. And they're not just there, just man. You think of Moses. He took his tent, he put it up away from everyday activities, and then God came. Yes, this was an indoor cricket stadium. But some people that love God got a hold of it and set up a meeting place with the Lord. And now God's here and comes here and visits here and stays here and abides here. And He loves it. It's wonderful. Not just man, but it's God's appointment with us. Genesis 28, Jacob, verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place, a certain place. Everybody say, certain place. And he stayed there all night because the sun had set. Now, there's a picture. It got dark. He came to this certain place, which was going to prove to be a meeting place with the Lord. And he stayed there in the darkness. You know, sometimes when things happen in life that affect us, touch us, bad things, all sorts of things happen. People sort of feel, oh, I better get this sorted out first and then come back to church. You know, like something, I had a bad week, you know, it was a tough, or this has happened and you know, I'm a mess. So it's like as though a church should be a place where we've got it all together. Look at Caroline here. We've just, you know, like Carol, it's got all together. No, yeah, no problems, no dramas, no nothing. You know, but hey, church is all right. I just love for church to be a place where there's a mess, where we're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden someone bursts out crying of that because God is touching them and helping them, and there's something there that might be hurtful, but in the presence of God, God is sort of stirring it up to bring healing to it. Jacob came to this place. The sun went down. Who's had the sun go down on their life sometimes? You know, the light's gone. It's dark, you know. But Jacob said, I'm staying here all night. I'm staying here in this place. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to run to God, not from God. He comes, the sun has set. He took one of the stones and put it at his head, and he lay down and had a sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up. I came in this morning. I said, Leslie, there's a ladder. They had ladders up to the sky here. I said, they've got the props ready for me. I felt like I was in a Jackie Chan movie. There's ladders. They were going up everywhere. And I said, yeah, leave it there. I could use this. This could come in handy. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up, and its top reached heaven, and there were angels ascending and descending, going up and down, ascending, descending, back and forward. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And he's about to start it where he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob too here. He says, Abraham, Isaac, I'm their God. And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, verse 14. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. God gives him a promise in this place where it's dark. No light, but he's chosen to stay there and to hang in there. They get in there and God visits him. It's a meeting place. Jacob wakes up from his sleep and he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. I pray that verse never fits the church. The church awoke from its sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. That's not us. The Lord is in this place and we know it. We know he's here. And Jacob wakes up and said, God was here. Hey, this is a special place. And he was afraid in a good way, in a good sense. Awesome. He was awed. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. God met with Jacob. Something happens. God meets with us here. Something happens. There's transacting. There's angels going up and angels coming down. The praises go up. We used to sing that little song in Sunday school. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. Build your house on the Lord. It's a gateway, a place where transactions are done. See, here this morning, for every one of us, that there's potential transaction that takes place. We love God. We worship him. Pours out his presence. Healing this morning. Healing bodies. Healing emotions. Touching lives. There's people here this morning and you know, there's stuff on the inside. And I just so sense the Lord touching you and bringing healing. Physical. And sometimes, you know, healing starts. It commences. It has a time when it starts. And there's a period of time for it to take place. Not all healing's instant. Some is. Oh, I love instant ones. And we see it many times. Instant. But there's other stuff that's progressive. And you say, I just have that sense. And I just want to declare this morning. That there's people here. And in days or weeks. Or maybe months to come. You'll just say to the Lord. And you'll say to others. And you'll testify to others. And you'll say, thank you, Lord. Something happened. Something started to be healed. Something changed. Something moved. Something shifted in my emotions. Something happened in my life from when we got together, when we worshiped together as churches in unity there. Something happened. And I've just been getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better ever since. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for those this morning that will leave here different to how they came in. There's aches and pains and diseases and stuff that will be left here today. And it will be noticeable. And you'll be able to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody here this morning? You came in and you had some symptom in your body. And if you were just to check that now, you would say, I think it's gone. Or I think it's improved. Is there anybody here like that? Just, you got something that you had crooked. Just give it a bit of a try. Just give it a bit of a wiggle. Just give it a bit of a something. Is your hand up? Doesn't matter what age. Praise God. Anybody like that? Anybody? Yeah, praise God. Wonderful. Something's happened. Something's moved. Something's shifted. Something's better or something started to get better. Anybody else? Up there. You, man. God bless you. Come on. Anybody? Hey, there's another hand. Oh, I want to give the Lord a clap. Come on. Anybody else up the back there? Just thinking, I'm feeling better. Something's happened. Something's happened here this morning. Anybody else want to give a wave and say, yes, I'm getting better. Up the back there? Praise God. Good on you. Someone came in here this morning. You're feeling very bilious, very sick in the stomach. And now you're thinking, oh, I haven't got that anymore. Who's that person? Here's that. You come in here, you were sick in the stomach. You had a really, really bilious sort of a feeling. And you're just even dizzy a bit and giddy. But now you're saying, hey, I'm something's happened. I'm getting better. Who's that person? Just give me a wave. Got all the lights on here. Who's that person? No? Going once? Going twice? All right, that's good. I was up in Mount Isa a while ago. I had four words like this for people, and I'm sort of, you know, putting them out there. And, you know, you say, oh, look, you know, going once, going twice, you make a bit of fun. But after four, you know, you sort of get, oh, look. Anyway, finally somebody come out. Then after the meeting, four people came up and said, oh, that was me, you know. That's good. I'll still pray for you. That's good, you know. But, hey, praise God for those that put their hand up and said, something's happened, something's moved, something's shifted. God is doing something. And as I said, there's other stuff in emotions, some stuff inside where there's just, it's like none of us are exempt from having our emotions under fire. And we've all had times, you know, the enemy gets us in his focus and hammers away at us. But I'm just so conscious that there's quite a number of people here this morning. God's doing something for you in Jesus' name. God met with Jacob. Something happened. Thanks for making church the centerpiece of your life here today. What happens when we come into the presence of the Lord? There's safety. There's deliverance. Our family, and our family, not only our family that's here, but our family that we're connected with, they get touched by the Lord. This is the sort of stuff that happens when we make church, gathering together, loving Jesus, a priority. Protection. We've read about flourishing. All sorts of stuff. There's a great psalm in Psalm 20, four verses. And it tells us here that our help comes from his house. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend you. Here's verse 2. May he send help from the sanctuary. May he send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Our Zion's a place of praise where we praise the Lord and worship him. Send help and strengthen you. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. May he grant you according to your heart's desire. Remember your offerings. Remember the times. See, he sends help from the sanctuary. Run to God. Some people, as I said, they run from God. Something happens, it's like God gets the blame. Oh, he didn't sort of do it how I thought. God never does it how we think. Some people say, oh, it's all right. He always turns up. You know, 1 minute to midnight, 30 seconds to midnight, he'll be there. Rubbish. He's got a different clock. He'll turn up 2 o'clock the next morning. 6 o'clock in 3 weeks' time. His clock's not our clock. But I'll tell you what, I read the end of the book. We win. We win. And if we keep turning up and keep loving the Lord and keep praising Him, we win. All things work together for good. Those who love God, those that are called according to His purpose. And when things go wrong, run to God. Lazarus, your friend is sick and he's dead. And the Bible says, Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, is sick. We get sick sometimes and we think, well, God doesn't love me. He does love you. He does love you. It's because things go wrong. We equate that straight away with our relationship with God. But you can't just sever that relationship with God just like that. Run to God. He sends help from the sanctuary. Whatever day. Someone said to me once, I had this really bad week. I couldn't come to church. I had this really bad week. I said, I had a bad week once. Oh, I've had a few bad weeks. I said, I had a bad week once. Wednesday, our 23-year-old daughter went to heaven in a tragic accident. And on Saturday morning, we had a celebration service for life. And when we buried her, it was a celebration of life. She loved the Lord. She fell down a waterfall before she hit the bottom of the thing. She is in heaven. She loved Jesus. That was sort of a bit of a hard week. Sunday morning, we're in church, loving Jesus, all the family, you know, time out. You can't keep us away. We're in church, loving the Lord. Tears? Yes, tears. Mess? Yeah, mess. But loving Jesus. And I tell you what, He sent help from His sanctuary. Whatever happens your week, and we all have things. We all have stuff. Things go wrong. Whatever it is, run to God. Run to God. He'll send help from His sanctuary. This morning, He's sending help from His sanctuary. For big things, for little things. Ingrown toenails, tragedies of life. He doesn't care. He wants to bless. He wants to lift up. He wants to touch your life. He's doing this. And how special this morning. Our safety, our security comes from the Lord. See, God sends strength from His sanctuary. A lot of times we want Him to remove the problem. But lots of times God doesn't actually remove the problem. He makes us stronger. Paul said, I got this thorn in the side. Take it out, Lord. Still there. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He made Paul stronger. Made him stronger. See, it's a question of focus. Get our focus on the goodness of God. Get our focus on the things of life or peace, depending which church you're from. Get focus off the things that haven't happened. You know, God could, you know, okay, there's a problem. We've got a thorn in our side. Something's happened. Something's a mess. God, help me. And we pray to God. And somehow or other, He takes it all away, just except for a little bit. You know what? Some of us, we'd be just looking at that little bit still. We'd forget what He has done, and we'd be just looking at that little bit. So just whatever it is, always look to the Lord. Always look to the good. Always keep our focus on the life. You look at other people, you're always going to see positives and negatives. God says, choose the good things. Choose the life. Something happens, something kicks in, something strong kicks in. Attach yourself to the house. Attach yourself strongly. Love His house. Come along regularly as you do. Give to the house. Bring others. Bring others. Own it. This is our house. Oh, we own it this morning in a good sense. This is us. I love this. This is great to be here today. John, thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming too. Worshipping the Lord, loving Him together, blessing Him. Come along, keep coming, bring others. Commit unconditionally to build His house because He's committed unconditionally to your future. Serve faithfully, gather every week. Enjoy God in the house, enjoy the worship. Lean in, whether the preaching's good or whether the preaching's bad. I said, you haven't got a clock here. I said to Philip, you haven't got a clock. I said, I'll pack the next best thing. I said, have you got a calendar? I could preach by the calendar. Enjoy God. Enjoy worship. Would you bring your love to his house? Lean in to his house. Bring your giftings. Not about joining a church, but loving his house. You have to be planted in his house somewhere. You have to be planted in God. There's a tragic story in Judges 18, and it's about some people, and it says, this is what it says. It says they had no ties with anyone. There was no connection with anyone. And so they got attacked. I say it's the first banana that leaves the bunch that gets skinned. Join ourselves strongly to support them. Deuteronomy 12, God is telling them, I'm doing great things for you. Verse 8, he says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing right in his own sight. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord God is giving you. But there'll come a day when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he will give you rest from all your enemies round about, and you'll dwell there safely. And then there'll be this place where the Lord God chooses. Verse 11, there's a place where he makes his name abide. There, in that place, bring all that I command you. Bring your burnt offerings. Bring your sacrifices. Bring your tithes. Bring the heave offering. Bring everything. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your sons and your daughters, your families, you, your male and female servants. In other words, get your business involved in this too. There's no separation. And the Levite who is within your gates. Don't forget the pastors either. All together. And take heed, verse 13, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. Take heed that you don't offer and do this stuff in every place that you see. Verse 14, but in the place which the Lord chooses, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. When he's giving you rest round about, see, God has got this meeting places, Life Church, Peace Christian Church, wonderful places, special places where we gather together, where we pour out, where he pours out his presence, touches our lives, where we get strength, where we find help, where we come, and whether it's been a good week or a bad week, we come and love the Lord. He pours out to us. We neglect it at our peril. God loves his people. He calls church. He loves the activity we call church. He loves the location and the venue that we call the church. He loves his church. You'll find help today in his sanctuary with his people. Can we pray together? Can we just close our eyes for a moment and pray together? Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. We can gather together freely and love you and worship you and praise you. You've got different families, Lord, but it's all your plan. You've got places where we can meet with you and do stuff together. And you said where two or three are gathered together, you're right there in the midst. You're up for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is your idea, not just man's idea. It's ordained from you. Lord, I pray your blessing on this church, Peace Christian Church, the family here, Pastor John and Hazel, all the leaders, all the pastors, Lord. Your blessing continue to be rich to them. House of miracles. House where everyone flourishes and continues to flourish in your presence, Lord. Today, just as we're here, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you haven't been born again, Jesus, God's Son, he gave his life for you. He stands at the door of your life and he knocks. He's there right now. If you've never been born again, he's there. He's waiting for your invitation. Would you open your life? Would you let him in? Would you do that today? You've never done that before. Maybe you're just here visiting, come with someone. You've never been born again, connected with God. This is how we come into his family. If you're here like that this morning, we're going to pray a prayer right now, and We're all going to pray it together, but this could be your prayer. And as you pray it, God hears it, and he breaks through every obstacle and comes into your life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, Jesus has come into your life, touched you. If you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, when we finish, and we've got just a couple of other things we just do in a minute, but when we finish, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, would you come down the front here, find me? I've got something to give you. I just got a little Bible study that will help you in your new walk with the Lord. So we want to pray just for people for healing this morning. And this is how we can do it. If you need healing in your body, if you need healing in your body, or if you need healing inside, something going on inside, you need for God to touch you. Maybe it could be all sorts of things. Maybe it's some other miracle that you need, financial miracle, something in your family that's happening, something that's going on, all sorts of things. Miracles are things that are impossible to us. So you've got something in your life where you need God to touch you. Would you do this? Would you just stand up this morning? Stand up right where you are. You need prayer. You need healing. You need something to happen in your life. There, and just like the man that Jesus said, stretch it out. That's what you're doing today as you stand. As you stand, you're stretching it out to the Lord, to him. And you're lifting it to him. Something happened. It's healing. Something there. Just look to the Lord this morning in his presence. And it's in his presence. It's only him. It's only he that can heal. But this morning, we just want to give him opportunity. I just so want to give the Lord opportunity to show himself strong. He does this. I got a text, a quick testimony. I got a text yesterday from a friend of mine who was diagnosed with MS and some months ago. And that's the diagnosis. And he goes to a church where they don't always believe openly about healing. They believe God is good, but they don't pray for the sick and that. But he's getting together with a few of his mates and praying and looking to God and believing for God to heal him. He texts yesterday. He says, I've been to the doctors. He says, give me a clear report. No more MS. It's gone. Praise God. Praise God. A friend of mine up in Cairns last year, he gets bowel cancer. They're going to have to cut it out. They do all the preparation stuff. They put all the preparation things in ready for the operation. He goes to church, to the sanctuary on Sunday, send help out of the sanctuary. He says, an old guy there at church prays for me. He says, I'm saying, and this guy, you know, just... and. An old guy, I'm an old guy, but you know, a believer, another believer. He says, another believer, we pray together. He said, I go back to the doctors and they said, something's happened. Something's changed. We've got to get more x-rays. We've got to check out again. Check it out. It's gone. It's gone. He said, I've got to go in now and have another operation. They've got to take all this stuff out to the preparation. I don't know, there's bags and stuff. I don't know what they do. I don't know. Anyway, he said, I've got to take them all out because I'm healed. I have to have the operation. God's inner healing. Inner healing. You're here this morning. Look, let's pray for each other today. Look, those that are just around about, or if maybe you need prayer yourself, but just see someone there that's standing. How about all those that are standing? Just put your hand up so we know who you are. Just put your hand up. You need prayer. Just have a look around, and someone with their hand up, you pray for them. You pray. That's our assignment. Let's just pray and believe. Look around. Someone's got their hand up. And you might have your hand up and you're praying for someone else too. Because that can happen. And just pray and believe God. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do this in Jesus' name. We do this. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray. Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters here. Lord, we're praying for healing and health and strength, symptoms to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, inner emotional things in the soul, Lord, you bring restoration. You restore souls. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Your health, your healing, your life flows in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Thank you. Symptoms go in Jesus' name. Pain leaves bodies in the name of Jesus. Leaves in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, if it was sore or something like that, just try it. Just, you know, give it a wiggle. Give it a try. And give us a wave if you're feeling better. Give us a wave if something happens. Give us a wave if there's an improvement. It might have started to get better. Praise God. Good one, man. Anybody else? Started to get better. Something's happened. Anybody over here? Something's good. We just want to say thank you, Lord. He started stuff. He started stuff. But I just so sense that we'll look back and we'll say something happened. Something started them. Jesus healed the lepers. He sent them away. As they went on their way, they got healed. But let's make sure we give God the praise and give him the glory. And when you find out that something's gone, something's healed, something's been good, tell somebody about it. Testify to it. Give him the praise and glory. Pastor John, hand it over to you. God bless you.